So I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes about how to interpret and apply prophetic words. Is that, you like that? Oh, good. I got to get my notes for this because I don't remember all of this stuff. Because, you know, when it comes to personal prophecies that we receive from the Lord, those words that we get from Him, they're conditional, right? They're not going to happen automatically without our cooperation, without our participation. So we have to understand that. And so what I find that is there are a lot of people who receive prophetic words, and I work with people all the time, and over the years, I've noticed that a lot of people who get a prophetic word, it's like they'll be blessed by the word, but they won't do anything with it. It just kind of sits there, and maybe they'll look at it or think about it once in a while. It's like the idea seems to be that, well, God gave me this word, so I just have to wait for Him, you know, to make it come true. And that's not how it works. Right? We have to participate. And the problem that even when people want to participate, you know, and take responsibility for what God is saying, many times you don't understand what it meant. Or you interpret it the wrong way. And recently I was working with a young lady concerning her destiny, and she was telling me how she'd received a bunch of prophetic words that indicated that she had a gift of evangelism. You know, even people saying, oh, you know, you're an evangelist. But the problem was, is that what she understood to be an evangelist was something she had absolutely no interest in. Right? She didn't want to be out there, you know, preaching on the street corners or having crusades and rallies and all that kind of thing, which is what, you know, when people say, oh, you're an evangelist, that's kind of the first thing you think about. You know, is that someone's out there, they're pitching the tent, you know, and they're doing all that kind of thing, right? And so I said, okay, well, what are you passionate about?
Holy Spirit.
Yes, Anna, we know you're passionate about Holy Spirit. That's okay. I'm usually used to it, but for some reason, I'm about to lose it here. So she said that she was passionate about being a teacher because she's a teacher. She teaches, you know, in school, you know, young kids, right? And she really loves that. And so we started talking about that. And I said, well, what if your evangelism gift is meant to be expressed within the context of your job as a teacher? Now, I realized that she realized, too, that she can't hold a crusade in school. But the idea of her gift of evangelism being worked out within the context of her passion never occurred to her. And so many times we'll receive these prophetic words, but because they're often spoken in what I'd call religious language or using scriptural references, we tend to interpret them according to the, you know, the words that were used to speak them, right? So, let me give you some examples of prophetic terms that many times you might hear or, you know, receive for yourself. Like, if God says that He's blessing you with a lot of wisdom, okay? Doesn't that sound awesome? Oh, Lord, thank you for your wisdom. You want to just anoint me with your wisdom. What we don't realize about that word is that it means that you're going to be coming up against some amazingly difficult problems that only the wisdom of God can solve. See? That's what that actually means. God's promising you wisdom because you're going to need it. Alright? Same thing is if the Lord, you know, if you receive a prophetic word about being a person of patience. Alright? It means you're going to have some things that you will need to wait a long time for, or you'll deal with people that you need to be patient with. okay? Because they don't seem to be developing quickly, right? Anybody know someone like that? It's like, that's a person that you want to slap instead of hug. It's like, grow up. What about this one? You know, have you ever, maybe you've received the prophetic word that talks about how God is imparting to you His heart and His love, right? That's an awesome word too. But what does it mean? It means you're about to have to deal with some people who are very difficult to love. That God's calling you into, you know, some aspect of ministry or work or job where you're going to have a lot of people that are hard to love. So if you were depending on your own abilities, right, you'd run out like in a heartbeat. Right? And so He's wanting you to learn what it's like to function in His love, to be able to release His love, right? Words like where God says, I'm going to build, I'm going to expand, I'm going to increase your business or your ministry or whatever you're doing in life. And that's like, oh, wow, it's awesome, right? Well, think about this. If you've got a building that you're looking to build onto or expand, there's a lot of work involved there. You know, you might have to do some digging and you might have to do some clearing. You might have to do, there's going to be some stuff you have to do in order for that building operation to be successful. And it's the same thing with the Lord. When He says, I'm going to build, get ready to be stretched. You know, get ready for some things to go on in your life that are going to seem, you know, kind of topsy-turvy, you know? It's like that particular word is a word where the Lord is saying, I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone. You know why? Because your comfort zone is way too small for what God wants to do in your life. Did you ever think about that? Your comfort zone is way too small to handle what God wants to build in you and through you. So He's got to do these things, right? Because a big building needs a big foundation. Right? So that's why the Lord's going to take His time to do that. How about this? You get a word that says that the Lord is going to give you a great harvest. Right? You know, ministry or business or whatever, great harvest. Well, what do farmers have to do to get a great harvest? Before that, they got to dig up the dirt. They got to plow. They got to do all this stuff to prepare the ground for the seed. Then they plant. Then they fertilize. Then they water. Then they wait. Okay? So harvest is great, but there's a process, right? And this is the thing that we've got to recognize, that there's process in every prophetic word. Okay, how about this? The Lord says, I will restore in your life. Sounds great, right? But what do you have to do when you want to restore, let's say, a piece of furniture? What do you have to do to that furniture? Anybody know? You got to strip it down, exactly. You got to get rid of the old finish and just get it down to bare wood. So when God's talking about restoration, He's talking about, let's get rid of stuff that's not working in your life, right? So that I can restore you back to what you were supposed to be from the beginning, right? So that can be a little painful, right? What is it that you need to give up, you know, in that process? The Lord will show you. And to the extent that you're willing to give it up, to that extent, He's free to do the restoration work. Does that make sense? How about this one? Prophecies that talk about a worldwide ministry, great success, great finances, right? We all love those kind of words, right? It's like, woo-hoo, okay. Right? Well, guess what? The greater the prophecy of success, the greater the time of preparation. Okay? Write that down. Right? Because think about this, right? The Lord, He wants us to succeed, right? He's a good daddy. He wants His kids to succeed. So, He's going to invest whatever preparation is necessary for you to succeed. What he wants to release to you and through you is so valuable that he will not take a chance on wasting it, having it come to nothing. Right? You know, Jesus spoke something very graphic about the Pharisees that we love to, hear it when it's about the Pharisees, but we don't like to hear it when it's about us. He told his disciples, "Don't cast your pearls before swine." And that's like, what? You calling them swine? Yes. And the pearls are his revelation. It's the things, the precious treasures that he wants us to receive and steward, right? And just like the Pharisees couldn't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth, right? They couldn't handle the truth, and so they weren't entrusted with the truth of the kingdom of God. And it's the same for you and I. That's why the preparation is necessary, so he can entrust you with the greater levels of revelation that will enable you to become the great success that he's prophesying about. Does that make sense? It's like he's very intentional. How about this? You know, many times in a prophecy, the Lord will say, "I will," or he'll say to you, "You will," or he'll say, "We will," right? What he's saying there is that we must cooperate with him if it's going to happen. And again, this is where a lot of Christians kind of get messed up. There is this idea in the church that comes right out of pagan philosophy. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Que sera, sera"? What will be, will be. That's called fatalism. That's basically, oh, I have no control over anything. Whatever happens, it must be God's will. That's one of the biggest lies in the church, when people believe that, God's in control. And you know what? He is, but he's also said, you be in control. One of the Spirit is self-control, right? So God is not up there pushing buttons and pulling strings and making everybody do what they do. We've got free will. And so I can absolutely choose whether or not to cooperate and partner with him in a word that he gives me. And so if you have prophetic words where he's talking about "I will," or "You will," or "We will," even when he says "I will," there's still a partnership that's involved in the fulfillment of that word. Right? You get that? Okay? How about this one? "I'm going to give you new revelation, new vision, new ministry." Those are awesome words, right? God is bringing forth new ministry. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about birthing. Birthing some new thing that the Lord wants to release through you. And let me tell you something. I believe fully that every single person on the face of this earth was created by God to birth something. Right? Why? Because we're made in his image. And that means we're creative. And so everyone is created to create. And that creative process is absolutely a birthing. A woman conceives and it's 9 months before that baby comes out. Right? And there's a lot of stuff that happens during that. A lot of development goes on that you can't even see. How many months is it before a woman even, you know, feels pregnant? Right? Because there's just stuff happening that she's not even aware of. And it's the same thing that when God's wanting to birth something through us, there's going to be this internal, this personal development that has to happen so that we can finally release and give that. And really, you know, a woman's body undergoes major changes in pregnancy. And that means I've got to be willing to go through major changes as well. Right? I've got to be flexible and cooperate with whatever changes that God wants to make in me so that that stuff can happen, so I can birth that. You know, it's funny. It's like, you know, when all this stuff happens, you just, "God, why? I didn't want this. I didn't ask you for this." You know, it's like, why is all this stuff happening? Because you're birthing something. And these changes are necessary. Okay? Timing. Timing is another thing that we just don't get. We don't know when God's going to fulfill stuff, you know, in terms of his time, right? So here's some thoughts on that. If you have a prophecy where God says, "I am now," or "I'm immediately going to do X, Y, and Z," Well, you can assume that that could be anywhere from 1 day to 3 years. Okay? The word immediately, you know, scripturally can refer to anything from 1 to 3 years in length. Okay? So obviously God's idea of immediately is it's not like ours, okay? How about this? God says to you, I will very soon do X, Y, and Z or bring that forth, right? That can be from 3 to 10 years of time, right? If he says, I will now or I will this day, especially this day, that's 10 to 40 years. Okay? Right? And if you know, another aspect of when God says, I will, when he says, I will, basically what he's saying to us is, I will sometime during your life if you're obedient. Alright? And then this one, I never want to hear this one of my prophecies. It's, if God says, I will soon do something, that's scary because Jesus said, I will return soon, and it's been 2,000 years. Alright? And so, woo! Okay? So, I don't know, I hope that's helpful. In understanding some of these prophetic terms. And so what I did yesterday with the folks that I was talking to in my workshops is I was asking, do you have a prophetic word that you don't understand or you don't have clarity on or doesn't make sense to you? And we actually, you know, we had a chance to kind of talk about some real life examples from, you know, the folks that were in our workshop. So I'm throwing that out to you guys as well for a few minutes. We can talk about that. Do you have a prophetic word that you've received that is not really clear to you, and you'd like to share that? We can maybe hopefully give you some clarity on that. Anyone? Bueller? Okay. Okay, so the word was about freedom. Okay? So, I mean, that's kind of a self-explanatory word where the Lord is telling you that things that were kind of holding you back, that he's setting you free from those things. So to cooperate with a word like that, what I would do is I would come before the Lord and say, Lord, I just need you to start showing me what things you want to set me free from. And as he shows you those things, it may be something that you need to repent of, in other words, to change your mind about the way you were thinking of something or seeing it, right? Or it could be some other, maybe a relationship that's not good for you, that's holding you back, or who knows? Just the Lord would show you and take you on this journey, you know, of identifying things that are holding you back that he wants to set you free from. That make sense? Cool. Somebody else? Do we have a contestant? Lord gives you a number? Well, could be that you just got the winning number for the lottery.
No, I get a number. I was praying for this teenager once. And the Lord said, at 26. So I don't know if that meant like
the
age of 26 or years. But
in
my spirit, I felt that something was going to happen at the age of 26.
At the age of 26. And that's really all you can do, you know? Here's the deal about prophecy. When you're prophesying over somebody, right? You're just the messenger.
Right.
So it's not your responsibility to interpret what you're giving. Okay. As a general rule, now I break that rule all the time. I'm just telling you. And the reason why I break that rule all the time is because, for whatever reason, God has gifted me with the ability to interpret prophecy. You know, it's invariably that I'll be talking to people or prophesying over them, and I'll be saying what God gives me, you know, speak it out, I'll give the word, whatever the picture that I see. And then immediately it's like he'll give me a download of wisdom as to what it means for them, you know, and how they can begin to actually walk that out. But if that's not you, then please don't try to do that. Because what will happen is you'll absolutely confuse the person if you try to give them your interpretation. Okay? You know, what you can do is you say, does that make sense to you? Does that resonate? Is there something about that what it means? And if they don't know what it means, guess what? If you don't know what a word means, it's your responsibility to find out. It absolutely is. You know, because God gave you the word and he'll give you the interpretation, but it may take some time to actually study out, you know, what is happening in that word, what it means. And that's really what I want to do. That I want to help people. You know, I have this passion to help people discover what their words mean so that they can begin to work with them and walk them out. Because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of people not following through and not functioning in what God's called them to. You know, so that just gets me stirred up. So, go ahead.
Sometimes
prophesy
over me.
Mm-hmm.
A four-pane window.
A four-pane window. Wow. So you're four times a pain.
Sorry. I don't think.
All right, that was good.
Of course not. I'm sorry. I'm going to be channeling Don Rickles for a while.
Oh.
I was so sad that he passed. He was one of my favorites. Huh?
He was
I'm telling you, I love Don Rickles' humor. I'm that twisted that his type of humor really appealed to me. I don't know why.
He's so good.
I know.
He did not.
So his chops.
It's just
make
crazy.
Make everyone laugh.
Yeah. Exactly. So forgive me if I
challenge.
No, exactly. That's what he would say.
Are you kidding?
So a four-pane window. That's interesting. And so like a normal window like that has different panes in it. Oh, so it's her fault. So you said that to her. Four-pane window. What did it mean? Yes.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, it's a window. I think it's a four-pane window. And a robin, but you also said window.
So you said window.
Okay, window and robin.
Robin said window and I said
robin. Okay, maybe somebody else.
Oh, wait a minute. So Robin said window and you said robin. See, this is getting really, really deep now.
Okay. Robin.
You saw her as a red robin. Oh, okay.
Okay, that's somebody else, the window. So,
so both the red robin and the window.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is where it's helpful to know a little bit about dream interpretation. Right, Anna?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have our resident expert, Scott, with us tonight, so I'll do the best I can. And Jackie has the interpretation.
Yeah. Revelation. All right.
Right. I
received
that.
Good.
Right. There you go. So the idea behind the window is that it represents prophetic, because lets in the light, and light is a symbol of the prophetic, of the Holy Spirit, right? So having that as a symbol for you means that you're, you know, someone that God shines on and gives you revelation. And so the red robin, that's an interesting symbol, right? What's unique about the robins?
Spring.
Exactly.
That's what that is.
Yeah. It heralds the new season of growth.
And birth.
Birth, yeah, you could add that in as well, right? So.
But it could be an anointing.
An anointing for?
The spring season.
For
coming into new birth.
Exactly, helping people. So you know what's cool about that? Oh, I love this. Here you go. You ready? See, here's what happens. You start doing this thing, and all of a sudden God adds to the revelation.
Good.
So, robins show up when winter's over.
Oh, I love that.
And people who are in a winter season need to be woken up so that they can begin to pursue the new thing that God has for them. A lot of folks get stuck, you know, especially in a religious context, they get stuck, right? And they kind of like go to sleep spiritually. Because that, really think about it, wintertime, everything's asleep basically, right?
Yeah.
All the plants are you know, the seeds are sleeping, the animals are hibernating, there's not really much going on. And while, you know, you can, I can't get into this, there's amazing stuff that you can do in the winter season, but in this case, I think it refers to people that are just kind of asleep spiritually. And so, you know, you come bopping in, the red robin goes bop, bop, bopping along. Oh, that's an old song. But yeah, you got to come in right? And so you're someone that the Lord's anointed to help wake people up out of their spiritual slumber so that they can start in a season of new life and new growth, which is what spring represents, right?
As she looks through the window.
As she looks through the window.
Yeah.
No, as the window looks through her.
Oh.
What else? Anybody else? You had a prophetic word that you're like, I don't understand, man. Go ahead.
They were just vague. It was.
It was what?
Vague.
Vague?
No. That's my word. What the words were? Powerhouse.
Powerhouse.
And force to be reckoned with.
A force to be reckoned with.
She gave me what? You said that.
Oh,
you did.
Right.
And
too much money, I guess.
And you saw me on a podium.
I did.
Remember?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We were at Pop-Up.
So, you know, when you receive words like that, the best thing to do is get out your dictionary. Get out a dictionary, get out a thesaurus, and just look at all the meanings that, you know, the definition and all of that those words mean, and begin to take that and say, okay, how does that apply to me and who I am? Okay, so you're still working on that one, right? So I would, you know, again, what I would do if I was ministering to you, we were going through this process, and since I already know you.
So you said it too. Sorry.
It's okay. You can blame anybody you want. But, you know, since I already know you pretty well, I would say that those words represent how strong you are about the things you're passionate about. That the things that really matter to you are things that you are very, very strong and passionate about, and you just get out of my way, you can't stop me. That's you. And I know that's you, you see. And so when you receive words like that confirm who you are in terms of your personality, you know what that actually does? It gives you permission to be you. Because many times, right, we think that, oh, there's something wrong with me because, you know, I get upset about things. I get upset about this, and I'm angry, and I want things to happen, right? I'm very passionate about stuff. You know, some of you are not like that. And so when you run across people who are like that, you think that they're not spiritual. Oh, why can't they be more, you know, self-controlled like me? Right? It's like, you know, they're too loud! But that is an aspect of the Father. Okay? He's passionate about stuff. And so there can be times when you absolutely need to roar like a lion.
Good, yeah.
Right? There's this thing you can do with Jesus where you're facing something and you can say to him, Jesus, I want to flow with you right now in your justice. So show me if I did anything wrong here to make this, you know, thing happen badly. If I did, I'm going to repent. And if you do that, you do that great. If not, then you say, okay, what is your heart about this situation? What's the justice that you want to see done? Right? And whatever he shows you, you declare it, and you roar with him.
Amen.
You open your mouth and roar with the Lion of Judah. And just release that sound.
Amen.
Over that situation.
Amen.
You know, and for those of you that, you know, you got to find your inner lion. I know. I think that's time for one more.
The inner lion. Hey,
Nicole.
I had gotten a word that, well, God gave the Lord the word reinvention for me.
Okay, so you received the word reinvention.
And I was asking, you know, does that mean that God is changing the path that I'm on? And they said, no, he's not changing the path that you're on. It's just going to be something different.
Good. So when you hear the word reinvention, what comes to mind? Anyway.
Reinvent the wheel.
I don't think we want to reinvent the wheel. So reinvention, right? That's when you take something. This is again where you would take that word, go into the dictionary, look it up, find out the meaning, see if there's synonyms, you know, other words that mean similar to that. So the idea behind reinvention is you're taking something that maybe only worked slightly or didn't work very well, and you're actually re-engineering it, remaking it, so that it's something better. Okay? And how I would apply that to you would be to say that the things that, you know, that were true about you or that you thought were true about you that he never said were true, you know, he's going to be taking those out and basically reinventing Nicole so there's a new Nicole the way he wants you to be. He's going to reinvent you. What do you think of that? You like that? Good. Right? So this is what I'm talking about. You know, we can process these words and really come into a greater understanding of what the Lord is saying. And so in the case of someone like Nicole, where God is saying, you know, reinvention, okay, Lord, show me where you want to make these changes to reinvent me. Okay? Every prophetic word that you get is meant to lead you into an encounter with him. It's to bring you into a place where you will get with him and say, okay, Lord, I want you to do these things. What is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to partner with you, to cooperate with you in the fulfillment of this thing that you said in my life? Right? And it could be anything from those kind of intimate times of letting him reveal stuff and show stuff to you to very practical steps of, okay, go out there, get a license, go out there and apply to go to school. You know what I'm saying? Who knows? The Lord is going to give you step by step on how to begin to fulfill what he's spoken over your life. Because he wants it to come true, right? He's like, otherwise, why would he say it to you? Okay? So, you know, what I'm saying to folks at this point is that, you know, if there's something like that that's going on and we didn't get a chance to talk about it today or you didn't want to bring it up publicly, that's cool. Just shoot me an email, right? And I'll be happy to correspond with you. We can talk about, you know, what it is that the Lord is trying to reveal to you. Again, I'm not the expert in this, but I do know that the Lord has blessed me with the ability to help people get clarity on what he's saying and to know what they can start to do to actually move into that. So if I can help you, just let me know. All right.